B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. I'm to understand that when I was gone for that week, that there was a playing of the game I Rule.
We have not played that in such a long time, and the biggest shocker of it all, Fred, was that John Wallach completely froze up. I mean, these are questions that he should have gotten and would have gotten if we weren't playing a game and the pressure was on, but he went 0-for-5. Now, the way that, of course, this game works... That's right, is that each one of us chooses a category that all three of us think that, or each one individually thinks we're an expert in, and then Mike Lockhart is going to play a clip that we have to identify in that category. Last week, for me, it was action movie theme songs. I did, I think, 4 out of 5. Joe Murray was grunge music,
no,
I think.
No, that was... he did wrestling entrances the first
wrestling
game.
Walk-in themes, yep,
yes.
Which he got 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And then Wallach did the R&B and early 90s hip-hop, and he went 0-for. So,
I Rule! Yeah!
Damn right.
So with Fred back, we're going to give you a chance to completely redeem yourself, John,
right.
Because your category is once again going to be early 90s hip-hop and R&B.
Oh, it's boy. In my head now. All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
So we're not even switching the topic on.
Oh, man.
This
all
is
right.
Something that you... Now, there's no reason why you... Admit, there's no reason why you shouldn't get these,
I
right?
should get the majority of these. I should, yes.
Okay. All right. So, for me, just to switch things up, even though this isn't a category that I would consider myself a total expert in, but it's one that I feel comfortable with, it is going to be the theme songs to NES games, the old Nintendo
system.
All
right.
And for Fred, just because we didn't have time for you to pick something, so we picked one for you, but then again, I mean, how are you not going to nail this? Sitcoms from the mid-80s through the 90s, I believe, is what we specified.
Half-hour comedies.
Yeah, okay. Just, I want Mike to kind of confirm that's the wheelhouse that we went with there,
yeah,
correct?
It's the themes to the sitcoms, yes.
Fred's
yes,
the themes to the yeah. sitcoms. So we know Fred is an expert in this. He's definitely proven that over and over again. And so let's see. This is all pretty much mostly about John Wallach. And let's see
he's got a redemption has to be going on right now.
All right.
All right, Dan, flip a coin. Let's see who goes first.
John, I have a three-headed coin once again.
I'll call tails.
Heads is Fred, tails is Rich, and wings is you.
Okay.
Feathers is you. What are you calling?
I'll call tails. That's what I think is going to wind up.
I've got heads, John.
Oh, darn.
We'll start with Fred.
All right.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. So how it works is Mike's going to play a clip, and you have, after the clip is done, you have, was it 3 seconds to identify it? Is
we
that
said
correct?
Five. It was five last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we gave five last
week. Okay, so 5 seconds to identify it. All right. Mike, whenever you're ready.
That is a show by the name of Spin City.
There go with yes.
Oh yes. Okay. Oh okay. Good. All right. I don't know the answer to these, so I'm not.
No. All right.
That sounds much like a Crash Test Dummies track or
listen,
something.
They were all the rage back then.
That sounds like something on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. Like it's just like fun freewheeling harmonica music. You know
listen,
what I mean?
That was all the Spin City was just a bunch of people having fun at the mayor's office.
And can all I right. ask one question or one thing here? When can we let the whole little bit play? Because Mike can't hear it until we're done.
Okay. Let the clip play and then answer when it's done. All right. Okay. It's a 5-second clip. Okay. Let's go. Who's next, Dan?
Rich, of course. You will go clockwise. So we'll go Fred, and then Rich, then John.
All right.
John just happens to be sitting to the left of you.
NES theme songs. Let's go. Hubble hibble. Double dribble.
Double dribble.
Yes.
All right. We'll go with yes on that one.
Oh, yes. Okay. You got to trigger those there. So that is, yeah, that was when you would see all the crowd kind of shuffle in on double dribble, and then they would show, of course, the L.A. Breakers and the Boston Frogs battling each other.
So they could be, yeah, so they could
sequential
be,
photos of dunks, yes.
Which was cool at the time. I'll stand by that. Let's go to John Wallach, whose category, once again, 90s hip-hop and R&B.
Boy. Yeah.
Let's let it roll.
Jodeci.
I rule.
Hey! Yay. Freaking you, right? Isn't that freaking you?
John?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought you knew that. That's what, yes.
I was guessing okay, at the time. All right, well, how about that? We're 3 for 3. I like that.
All right.
All right, Freddie T. The category is sitcoms, television themes. Let's let it roll.
Becker.
Yeah, I actually knew that one.
I mean, could you pick Becker out more obscure themes? Okay.
Who watched Becker?
I did.
Like, I know it's a massive show, but...
I watched Becker. It was on TV during the day.
Yeah.
It just seems like a fake show.
Yeah. Did you ever watch any of these at night when they were on, or is this all just repeat stuff during the day that you've caught?
Yeah, I didn't really watch TV at night when I got older. So, these are all... You have to remember, I worked nights for a long time.
True.
Either waiting tables or... So, like, you know, I was home... I mean, I saw all of the Joey Lawrence and his brother's Brotherly Love series at least twice through. All right. Rich, this is video games.
Yeah, and NES theme songs. That's right. Let's go. Legend of Zelda, the original.
I even knew that.
It's classic. Classic. Now, if you have the
right, Jonathan,
we really get into it. All right, John. So here we go.
Okay.
90s hip hop and R&B. Let's go.
Oh God.
If you don't get that,
I know. I know. Silk.
No! That's genuine! That's Pony!
Oh, of course it's Pony. Of course.
That was like a hit!
I freaking choked again.
God damn it.
How did you miss that?
Of course. I don't know. I don't know how I missed that. Of course it's genuine. God damn it.
I mean, he was the real deal Holyfield.
Yes, of course he was.
Fred, was it you or was it my wife Mary who saw the genuine tour bus in the parking lot of a grocery store? Okay, and like there was like a bunch of women waiting outside of it. And you knew it was a genuine tour bus. Why?
Because it said genuine all over.
Wow, that is disappointing, John.
I know, disappointing to me, too.
I mean, I land Becker in Spin City, and you're sitting there without genuine.
I know.
God. All right.
Okay, all right. Let's go, Fred. Let's see if we can do this.
That's I Dream of Jeannie, but that's not in the 80s or the 90s.
Mike's bad.
I was about to say, is that like a Sid Marty Krofft production?
Like, what sounds like that? Something from the 60s, right?
Yeah, I mean, with the audio quality, not exactly true.
That is
I Dream of Jeannie. So
it's not. It's Bewitched.
It is Bewitched.
Well, okay, right, we're not going to hold that against you. Give him another one, Mike. If you don't. Do you have another one by any chance?
Oh, oh, okay, hang on.
Need an answer.
5 seconds.
Is that Suddenly Susan?
Oh!
It's News Radio.
News Radio was a hit, too. That was a big show.
That always trips me up. I've gotten that wrong on the show before.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah.
That's not quite genuine bad.
No.
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 That's
so ashamed I missed that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's see it. What do you got for me? NES themes. Let's hear it. Oh. Is that Tetris?
I rule.
Good call.
My goodness.
Do we need a score update here?
Yes. It's a Fred, 2 for 3. Me on the NES games, 3 for 3. And John Wallach only have done 2 so far. He is 1 for 2, but the one he missed, God. I mean, Genuine's Pony, you miss that one is unforgivable. So let's hear what you got. We got one here. Let's go. 90s R&B and hip-hop, John Wallach.
I'll be sure.
I rule.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Very good.
Not excellent. Quite making up for the Genuine miss, but I'll take it.
He's coming back big time.
All right. So we've got 2 more. Right now it is a tie, John and Fred, and I'm in the lead with 3 for 3. Fred, television sitcom themes. Let's go.
Running together.
Three.
We played again.
What is it? What's this you got?
Putting it on the line.
Oh, Hang Time. Okay, because Hang Time had a girl from my wife's school on it.
Hang Time. That sounds like the song that Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly create at the end of Boogie Nights when they're in a band.
You know, it's like a Saturday morning live action show when it has that theme to it.
Hang Time.
You know who was it? The star of Black-ish was in Hang Time. So there you go.
All right. So Fred, who has missed that one, he is 2 for 4.
I got it right.
No, it took you like 5 seconds. That's the limit. You got
to
get it fast.
Oh, if you pull out Hang Time and I have to get it within the first 35 seconds?
Like that secondary characters in 90210, man. It's
last
tough.
Week I gave a wrong answer first, but within 5 seconds I gave the right answer and they counted it wrong. So you got to get it. You got to get it within 5 seconds. That's the rule, man.
All right.
Well,
these have. I mean, so far these have not been easy. I mean, you gave me Becker, Spin City, and Hang Time.
Already, a protest has been filed already, Michael. I mean,
no.
Protest has been filed.
It's fine, but these aren't like you know.
It's not the theme to Friends.
Right, exactly. We're going a little deep.
I would argue that everyone except for Hang Time has been number one in its time slot.
Oh, I mean, come on, Rich. I don't think that Becker nor Spin City was ever number one in their time. Maybe Spin City, certainly not Becker. He paid a crotchety old doctor.
All right, NES themes go. Ice hockey?
RC Pro-Am.
Oh, RC Pro-Am, that's a great game. RC Pro-Am was a game that I know a guy who played it so far that it just, everything was super fast that you couldn't, like, it was almost like you were waiting for the kill screen, like in that movie, the Donkey Kong kill screen. Like, it would just run out of, like, any kind of data or whatever. So, all right, that sucks that I missed that. All right, John, you are now 2 for 3.
Yes.
Let's see what you got.
The Boys. I don't know.
No,
it's Tevin Coleman.
Yep, it's Tevin Campbell. Campbell, right?
Tevin Campbell.
I always think about Round and Round, the song he did with Prince. I never would have gotten that one.
Even I knew that one.
Tevin Coleman's a running back.
That's right.
Tevin Campbell is Round and Round in Graffiti Bridge, right? That's him.
Yes.
Damn it.
Wait, All right. Final one, John. You're only 50%. This is not very good.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, your final one. This is TV sitcoms. Let's go.
Will and Grace.
Which is probably one of the all-time worst successful sitcoms.
I mean, at least it was successful, finally.
Yes.
Yes, finally a successful one. Yes.
All right, so you end with 3 out of 5? Is that right?
Yeah,
3 out of 5?
It's really 4 out of 5, but okay.
Okay, well, all right. We'll give you 4 out of 5 just to piss off Wallach. All right, so NES theme songs, let's go. That's ice hockey. Oh,
that's Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, that's Tecmo Bowl. Yep. All right. Well, 3 out of 5. Not good. Not good. Not good. I blew it the last two. Started off hot. All right, John.
Talk about pressure.
For the tie.
For the tie.
Yep. For the tie.
All right. Let's go.
Joe Public.
I rule.
They served that one up for me. That was what I missed last week.
I put that one in last week.
Thank you very much. Mike, I appreciate it. I'll take it.
Right. Well, then right. Fred is the winner. Fred, as long as Wallach didn't win, that's all I care.
So. That's right. All right. Gordon Eads is going to join us in just a moment.
Jim McBride.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and unfortunately, the next guest was plugged in properly.
Yeah.
for some reason, Gordon Eads came out of Fred's mouth, and I don't know where that came from. That was
well, that's kind of an honor to be called Gordon Eads.
I mean, very famous writer,
same newspaper, but you know, he doesn't write for that newspaper anymore.
He hasn't written for them for like 7 or 8 years.
Well, I think
like,
it's been at least a decade. Jim McBride, when was the last time Gordon Eads wrote for your paper?
Oh, it has to be 8 or 9 years ago, but yeah. I hope I didn't bump my good friend Gordon, because he might be mad at me for that.
Well, he doesn't even cover the same team.
I mean, Gordon. He now works for the Red Sox. You know,
of course, yeah, he's like their historian or something like that. But but you know, Jimmy Bride's coming out. We want to talk about the Patriots, so your mind's but Gordon Eads is like he's always been. You know, baseball, I don't know where that came from, Jim, but I do know that it's much better than having Gordon Eads on this.
Well, it's quite a coincidence because Gordon's coming over later to my house to help me put in a bidet. So that
now that you've heard the testimony, this magical thing that exists only the clear ear in other countries, then God bless you, Jim. I mean, because
good
apparently it's just as easy as that.
Good
you know?
For you for listening to the program, too. Very good. I appreciate that.
Yes, and I apologize for you having to listen to John Wallach not know Genuine's poem.
I know, that was a rough one.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not like he hasn't seen Magic Mike 1,000 times. I believe that's the theme of that movie, and I'm ashamed that I actually know that. All right, so Jim, this is going to be a very interesting, and it's already been an interesting off season. And let's first get this part out of the way because, you know, this has been the big story this past week about the players all coming out talking about kneeling. There's been, you know, one of your co-workers, Chad Finn, wrote an article about. You know, that the Patriots should sign Colin Kaepernick. Well, first of all, what's your feelings on Kaepernick? Do you believe that he is going to end up getting a job this year, or is this something that you just don't see happening on both sides of it? Maybe he only wants a starting job. I don't know. Where's your head at with Colin Kaepernick this season?
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see what his skill level is like now after being, you know, out of the game for 3 years. You know, and he was kind of on the decline when he was still with San Francisco. So, you know, I think he'll get some opportunities. You know, he'll get invited to some camp. But whether he has that passion to play again, that's what I really want to see. If he's, you know, if his skill level can be anywhere near it was when he was at his peak with the 49ers, and if he generally wants to play football anymore. But he certainly deserves a shot. He took a team to a Super Bowl at one point in his career. But so, you know, I would like to see him get a shot. I don't think, you know, I kind of disagree with Chad. I respect his opinions a lot, but I don't think that New England is a fit for him. I think they, you know, with four guys in camp or scheduled to come to camp, I just don't see room for a fifth arm at this point. You know, they just don't have enough time.
Overall, this has kind of been a weird offseason for everyone. You know, Patriots aren't expected back until training camp in Foxborough. The coaching staff is staying away. But in the interim, we've kind of seen a more human side to Bill Belichick. And very rarely does he kind of peel back that top layer and let us see what's underneath. But as you've reported and others have at your paper, he was very vocal about the Black Lives Matter movement and discussing it with his players. And a lot of nice things to say about Devin McCourty this week. It just seems like everything has changed a little bit.
Yeah, I think maybe the bill that people don't get to see a lot is kind of coming through, and players are kind of, you know, relaying that when they talk about how he's handled the offseason. You know, he's been the best coach in the NFL for so many years, and you know, you don't do that just by being an X and O's guy. I mean, he knows how to talk to people and how to develop relationship. I mean, he's clearly a leader of men to kind of, you know, borrow a cliche. So I'm not surprised to hear that he, you know, relates with players on that level, on a personal level. I know, you know, even talking to Richard Seymour a couple of weeks ago after he was elected to the Patriots Hall of Fame, he talked about how Bill gave his kids Christmas gifts. And I think that's something that kind of shocked a lot of us, that he would, you know, do something like that. So I think he's always had a great relationship with his players. And, you know, it's no surprise to me that he relates to them on that level, and that he would be, you know, involved in discussions about Black Lives Matters and all the social issues that are, you know, out there right now.
Okay, so there have been regulations that the league has put out to deal with the upcoming training camps for COVID-19. I know that the coaches basically said they're not going to – not basically, they said that they're not going to go back to Gillette until training camp starts. I know some other teams have done that. Some have decided to go back. But these restrictions, first of all, what have you heard specifically about, like, just how different it's going to be locker room-wise, camp-wise, and like, how tough is that going to be for a team to adapt to something so different?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough. But I think that, you know, making the decision to not have the full team and coaching staff back until training camp gives you know, the powers that be time to alter Gillette to make sure that they follow these protocols. I mean, you know, you're talking about the Patriots do have a gigantic home locker room, which is, you know, bigger than a lot of the other places I've been to in the league. So they can probably, you know, space things out and respect that 6-foot distance better than other teams. But it's places like the weight room and the training room. Like, how are you going to schedule that? Does that make days longer because you're going to have to schedule guys in at certain times to make sure that there's not too many people in a room? I know there was another report that, you know, hallways are going to have to be one direction, kind of like a supermarket hallway or a supermarket aisle where you can only go one way. That's going to be tough. But given this extra time, you know, it'll help them figure it out. And I think, you know, having a team like the Patriots, who have such a structure in place already, that kind of gives them an advantage over other teams that, you know, say first-year coaches or younger coaches that really haven't had a chance to establish themselves or get their program in place. So I think the Patriots will adapt. It's going to be tough. I'm very interested to see how the media is allowed on site for training camp practices. I'm sure there won't be, fans like there were in years past, but you know, are we going to have temperature checks before we can go cover a training camp practice? Things like that. I'm very interested to see how that plays out.
Go ahead.
They announced this week that NASCAR is going to let fans into the stands, not at full capacity, but I mean, they're going to be real fans in the stands. And obviously, if there's a spike, everything changes. But the NFL, you know, there's going to be states that have governors that are very loose with their restrictions that are going to, I mean, Texas, I know, is one that's basically said that they're going to allow fans into the sporting events. How do you see Gillette handling this? If there is a situation where they are only allowed 30% capacity or 40%, you've heard these things proposed before. When you look at Gillette, have you heard any word out of there of what their plan might end up being if that ends up being the case of a limited capacity football game?
I haven't, but I can imagine that they'll be more cautious than other states like Texas. And the Patriots do play in Houston this year. But I think, you know, with the way that, Governor Baker has kind of, you know, taken a slower approach to reopening compared to other states, I would think that, Gillette would probably be a smaller capacity. I couldn't see it at any point this season that they'll, you know, allow a full capacity. Now, how they distribute those tickets and how they space things out, those are all things that I'm sure are being worked on now, but I haven't heard exactly what kind of plan they'll have in place, how much distance they're going to have between sections, rows, seats. It's going to be, you know, it'll be really strange.
Yeah, well, Robert Kraft, real quick, I'm sorry. Robert Kraft is very, I mean, he's obviously got a ton of power amongst the owners. Do you see him having a problem with some teams being able to have fans and him not being able to, and like, for, as you said, in Massachusetts, it'd be more restrictive. Like, could you see him pushing for it's either everyone has fans or no one has fans because of the advantage that those give you?
I don't see him having a big issue with it. I think he'll, you know, he'll be one of those guys that would follow, you know, the science and follow the Governor Baker's, you know, rules along with the NFL rules to a T. I don't think he would have a big problem with that. There's so many other concerns about the season. You know, I'd be surprised if he made a huge issue out of that.
All right. So because Michigan State is allowing 30% capacity, and the way they're doing it is they're going to focus on student season ticket holders and donors. So 30%. What is the rate of what percentage of the crowd is season ticket holders, do you think, with the Patriots?
I don't know the exact number, but it's huge. It's, you know, it's okay. It's well above the majority. So you know, to kind of to pick and choose who gets to go to the games, I would think that, you know, it's probably going to be a seniority based thing. That would be my guess. And, you know, I would think that they would be able to space it out where there's 8 games or 10 games if the preseasons are played. You know, that the top guys on the seniority list would get their choice of maybe 2 games, and, you know, everybody on a season ticket list gets 2 games, you know, something like that. That's my best guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry, I was waiting for another question.
No, a follow-up.
What, you want a follow-up? He
well,
answered
listen,
it.
No.
From
no,
tip
no.
to
Gordon,
tail.
Did you add anything here?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, listen, I mean, Gordon Eads has already asked here all the questions we want to ask him anyway. So,
I mean, the man made a good point, and I decided to let it breathe. I mean, he didn't say anything that offended me or that I questioned the validity of. So
this isn't Gordon Eads, by the way. This is Jim McBride.
Yeah. Oh, Jim McBride. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. All right, I'm really losing it.
Good talking to you, Gordon.
Jim McBride.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Everyone leave me alone.
All right, Jim. Thanks, man. And
Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. Yes, thank you so much. I'm a big fan. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, know what, Jim.
When the stop sets are a minute long and I've showed up twice late to get into a break by going downstairs and getting a soda, it tends to throw me off my game a little bit. I guess I cannot leave this room, I'm supposing. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, Fred?
Oh, I've got a lot of balls in the air, John. Rich knows. Hey, everybody. It's 98.5, the Sports Hub. My children are still in Tennessee enjoying themselves. That's what you got to do sometimes. Made a baseball team, the boy.
That's good.
Made a baseball team down there in the Tennessee.
Great.
That's good.
You know,
You said he was playing catch with some Yankees, if I'm not mistaken?
There was a Yankee there and like a bunch of Houston Astros. I don't know. He told me he played catch with the guy, but I don't know if that's a fact.
Okay.
I think sometimes he gets ahead of himself a little bit. So, as I do as well. Meaning that we're both horrible liars.
Real quick, speaking of the Houston Astros, do you think that if there's no fans in the stands, that they're still going to plunk Astros players?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean,
doing it for the fans. I mean, they're doing it as punishment, martial law, and they should. They should plunk them. They should hit them.
Oh, no question. And,
like, I'm not going to throw at a guy's head, but I mean, they got to hit him.
And if they try to, and I know that the NBA has talked about this and the NFL has talked about this, having fake crowd noise, that's the main reason why you don't need fake crowd noise, especially in baseball, because I don't want them drowning out every single word during those fights and those pileups, because you're going to get some.
Well,
you're
going to get some, whatever the Astros play. The Astros, realistically, for a time, cannot fight. Like, they can't charge the mound. They're going to have to accept the fact that they're getting hit. And then if it, you know, goes into, like, you know, you're a month into the season, they're still getting plunked all the time.
Go a month into the season. Season's over at this point.
Well, John, you know what I'm saying.
I do. I know exactly what you're
saying. Don't be cute, John. Don't challenge my knowledge of the game. But, okay, John, I'll ask you. They don't charge the mound in the first 3 weeks of getting hit.
Not if they know it's good for them, because if they do charge the mound, then the punishment's going to be three times worse.
And you take it.
You sit there, you take your medicine, and then it's over. And then you continue on. I mean, wasn't there some talk about prohibiting bench-clearing brawls this season early on in these negotiations? If I remember correctly.
About the COVID-19 negotiations?
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop them from doing it.
No, I understand that. But I guess what I'm saying is that regardless of what the rules are, the Astros are going to have to sit there and take it. And they're going to have to take it for a long period of time. This isn't going away in the first week. Each team gets their one free shot at Houston for the balance of the season.
But you admit, though, the fights aren't going to be nearly as vicious without the crowd going crazy.
Like, I don't know. You had that guy from the Blue Jays or the guy from the Rangers knocked the hell out of Bautista?
Rougned Odor. It was a one-punch knockout of Bautista on the base.
And then remember he got, like, a game punishment?
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. It was almost like they're encouraging it.
So it's like, you know, they're not going to – I don't know. It is funny that they're like – if they were like, oh, yeah, you can't have these brawls because of Corona.
Like, that's going to stop them. I know.
Wow, eight guys fighting. And then the bullpen, you know, slowly walking in. It's a big – what I'm worried about is the coronavirus from all these guys. I mean, Lord have mercy, there's 40 guys on the field. It's a petri dish of disease. But, yes, I think that they're gonna get hit. And I think even if this season doesn't happen, which, knowing baseball, they'll probably screw it up and not play, or screw it up into such a way that it's not anything that you recognize as baseball anymore. I mean, there's some people saying, I think it might have been, I don't know if I've heard the station lately, I can't remember who it is, but like people going, well, let's try, it wasn't Matt, it's like, let's try all this stuff this year and see if we want to implement it next year. For instance, you know, the pitch clock and, you know, seven innings and a doubleheader. And, I mean, it's still baseball.
The two sides can't agree on whether or not the sky's blue at this point.
No, I know.
So why can't implement any of these changes.
But, John, if I'm a player, here's the thing. Okay, this is kind of interesting. If you're a player who's really good, do you want them to shorten games? Because there's two ways you can look at it. You can go look at, you know, games are long and it's grueling, because it is. People go, why do baseball players get hurt? Well, because they're playing every day. And then, but you could also go, I want my statistics to be, I don't want them to be compromised by not playing games.
But if everyone's
in
the same plane, they won't, though.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I mean?
the thing is, Rich, is that it has been that way forever. So, like, if you're looking at my Hall of, you know how the Hall of Fame is, and it's so ridiculous. Like, if I, like, want to be a Hall of Famer, and my statistics aren't going to match up with players that have played before me, you know that they're not going to be able to figure that out.
Well, pitching percentages are going to look better. I mean, because you don't have to go further.
Correct. And then, but you know what also sucks with the seven-inning games, and John, I don't know if you would agree with this, is that they're going to use far more pitches.
No, it's the games are long enough, and a seven-inning game is going to last 9 innings. Inning game is going to go at least 3 hours.
Why in the middle of on a Wednesday during an away trip, why would I pitch my starter, you know, more than five innings?
That's the thing. You have expanded rosters to begin with. Most of those extra spots are going to be taken up by relievers.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're going to have all games are going to be longer this year, let alone the seven-inning games that they're thinking about. But they're not going to implement this. It's going to be nine-inning games. Every game is going to be 3.5 or 4 hours. And God forbid the Red Sox and Yankees play on a Sunday night. That game's going to last until 1 in the morning.
If you're watching that, you're out of your mind. I mean, you're walking into – like, I love baseball. I ain't turning that thing on. But, I mean, seriously, if you had Kershaw, and I know Kershaw is not the greatest right now, but it's the first name that popped into my head.
Scherzer. Say Scherzer.
Okay, Scherzer. If I have Scherzer, I ain't pitching him more than five innings. Hell no. I don't care what he's doing. No,
Chris Sale can be successful.
Yeah, maybe Sale could be... can pitch two innings or two pitches a game, and then they can take him out. Yeah, you put him in there against a lefty and scare him, and then that's over. But it's really a shame that baseball's not coming back and they can't get their crap together, because it would be really nice as a distraction right now to have that, because it's a game again that I don't believe is to be. It's not something to be, and Danny Roach even believes this, it's not something to be consumed in its entirety. It's something that kind of, it's nice to know it's there.
Major League Baseball is risking losing its core. I don't know if we had this conversation with you or Rich and I had it last week with Joe. Major League Baseball has already pretty much lost all the casual fans it could possibly have for this season. But now, considering the labor problems that are on the horizon and all this messing around with millions and billions of dollars when you have an unemployment rate of close to 15 to 20%, I mean, they are the least identifiable or the least that's the athlete you have the least empathy for at this point. The teams and the athletes, no people have any empathy or sympathy for anything they're going through at this point. So you're going to lose your core fandom in addition to your casual fandom. Major League Baseball, they have an opportunity to really screw this up so that they are completely irrelevant in 2 years from now.
Well, I mean, and you can see it from both sides, because it's like these owners, like you mentioned, Bill DeWitt, and I told you, they just had this insane – St. Louis is in a big market.
Yep.
They have $1 billion TV deal, okay? So he's missing out on that. Then you have players like – you know, at a certain point, don't you want to play? Like, I mean,
that's the mantra. They want to play. That is their campaign slogan, but only under the right circumstances.
Right.
That's the problem. And owners, and Rich, you said this earlier in the show, owners made the biggest mistake you could possibly make. Ricketts for the Cubs DeWitt for St. Louis.
Yeah.
They didn't shut up.
Yeah.
The worst thing they could have done is start talking.
DeWitt is the worst of them all, because St. Louis, because you know what he would say probably, and that the majority of the country would buy it, is that he would say, without fans, you know, we're not going to be profitable. No. As a fan of the team, I know you signed a $1 billion contract in crap St. Louis that no one lives in.
And the best point, and this is the same thing when you heard the owner of the Cubs speak a week and a half ago, the one thing they keep throwing out there is, you know, baseball doesn't really make us a ton of money. And I just want to point out once again that Bill DeWitt bought the Cardinals in 95 for $150 million, and now it's worth $2.1 billion.
I know, and it's ridiculous that it's in St. Louis and he's making that money. But they would counter with, but that's, you know, not liquid. They would say, I'm not telling you, I'm not lying to you.
I understand, but that's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous.
The thing that pisses me off more than anything else is that Major League Baseball, the players and the owners, are taking the fans for granted.
Yes.
They'll come back. They always come back. Well, this time is different. There are a lot of people. There's a lot of suffering going on out there. This time is different. And fans will spite you and not show up to games and not watch you on TV because of the way you're treating them right now.
Yeah, and especially if I can't figure out what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have to contract the season and do all this crazy stuff, I mean, I don't know what that – do you really want to relearn baseball? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to have to, like, go, oh, what's happening now? Like, why are they making 100 pitching changes? I don't want to do that.
I don't even miss baseball. I just miss Dennis Eckerson.
Bango.
Yeah. I just want a little more of him.
Yeah, but I mean, this just gives him more time to lay pipe. I mean, that's all he wants to do. He's like, Foghat, man. Screw the virus, man. You got a tour. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. The Fupadoopy twins with those
Fupadoopy,
four.
Write it down.
We got to do one with those four juicy melons. I ain't asking for much, just a couple of cassavas. Downtown, I'm just looking for some sweater meat.
Sweater?
Yeah, milk jugs. You've never been to the doctor? Excuse me, madam, can I take a look at your milk jugs?
I think he has a sleeveless tee that says that.
I knew this girl. She was one of the McGillicuddy girls, and she lactated, baby. Oh, man. Just like a mama.
It's not what I want to hear this morning.
No, fine, but it's not anything I can get in trouble for. It's a very natural thing.
Sure. I didn't say that. I was just saying it's
well, let's visual. Let's watch it a little bit. I mean, you know, like, ooh-lee, lee-lee, leaky-leaky. What movies did I see? Oh, I saw that. Now forget it. I can't remember what it was, but the woman was leaking. It was either. Have you been watching that show on Amazon Prime, Fleabag?
Oh yeah, it's a great show. I love it.
It's a good show. But there was some show I was watching where the woman was struggling because she was. Oh, it was not a good show. It was the movie Tully that I turned off.
Oh,
it happened to be in the home because my parents don't have like access to like movies, so I have to buy them on DVD. So like they're like, you know, $5.
Yeah.
But and I watched the movie about the two girls called what was it? It was called Booksmart. I saw.
Oh,
Booksmart.
That's supposed to be really funny.
Well, I wanted to like it more than I did.
Well, I think that's you've got viewing this weekend because I know that there's the King of Staten Island with your favorite guy who's starring in it.
Yeah, that's not getting good reviews.
It's kind of down the middle. Like it's like people either like really like it or they're like, I don't know, you didn't give us enough.
I don't dislike Pete Davidson. I feel bad for Pete Davidson because knowing like a little bit of how Hollywood works, I think he's a very sensitive person that's been put into these situations that have been manufactured for him, and he's too dumb to know it. So that's my theory, if you want to, you know, because I'm a carer. All right, we're going to break. I'm going to do my best to get back up here in time.
Run!
Right. This is the time to go. I will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Ah!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you got a little something?
I
gave all the words for breast that I could think of.
First of all, I feel bad this morning for a lot of the bars here in Boston who are wanting to open up because they were originally slated to open up in Phase 3. You know, right now we're in Phase 2.1, where they've been opening up restaurants where you can eat outside. And I think later on in Phase 2, whether it's next week or the week after, that's when you're going to be able to eat inside. I know, Fred, down in Tennessee, you ate inside of a restaurant.
I ate inside, but in fairness, everything was spread out. In reality, I swear to you, I was the only person inside the restaurant. I made sure that because again, I was with my parents. But it is weird coming back to Boston from being in Tennessee, and just how like different things are here. Again, I didn't go out very often. I, you know, stayed at my parents' house 99% of the time, but I had to get Bojangles. I had to get my Bojangles. Is there anything better in the world than Bojangles?
Cold Bojangles, yes. I would say Bojangles the second day is even better than Bojangles the first day.
You got that right, Jack. And how about that coleslaw? I'm not going to lie to you. I had Bojangles twice, and I was so emaciated that I only put on like 3 pounds. I ate fast food legit at least once a day for a month.
Oh, it's a dream. It's a dream come true, man.
I mean, Arby's is legit.
I love Arby's. It's because, and everyone's going to say, that's not real roast beef. I know. It's not, but it's delicious.
It's chopped up hot dogs.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's the way that it's so wet that it melts right into the bun, which just squishes into it. Awesome. I mean,
it's better than real roast beef. It's 1,000 times better than real roast beef.
And by the way, there are some roast beef places in New England that rule. Matter of fact, I always joke about Mike's roast beef, you know, being right there across from the Encore. But that place is amazing.
And you know why?
Because it tastes like an Arby's. Because it's like the way that they cut it and the size of it. But there's certain like roast beef places that everyone brag about where you go and you get a roast beef sandwich that's the size of a hubcap. And that's too much. There has to be an awesome bun to meat ratio, and it has to be wet to where everything kind of mushes together into a big like ball of goo. That's what makes a good roast beef sandwich.
Let me tell you one thing: very disappointed by Taco Bell. Very disappointed. And second of all, poor McDonald's. When you're on the street of dreams,
yeah,
ain't a lot of business rolling in that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're on the street of dreams. It has every fast food restaurant. Like, if you can name one that's not on there, I'd be very impressed.
I mean, who's the king of the street of dreams? It's usually the Bell, right?
Arby's.
No.
Chick-fil-A had a 45-minute wait.
Oh,
and then Steak and Shake is my wife took the kids. She had to pick them up from baseball. And they went to Steak and Shake, and there was a 45-minute wait.
I remember people going to the Steak and Shake, and there being a line, because the drive-thru's always packed at Steak and Shake. For some reason, it takes longer to make the stuff at Steak and Shake than in most other places. And I remember it being right next to a Dairy Queen, and me thinking, why would you go to Steak and Shake when there's a Dairy Queen right next to it? Their
Snobbery.
Shakes are superior. Their ice cream is superior. In my opinion, their burgers are superior to Steak and Shake. Like, Dairy Queen is just... By the way, Dairy Queen, you could put it there. Like, that, they may not be the king of the Street of Dreams, but they're like the Duke. Like, they're like... You know,
They took away the Dairy Queen by my parents' house. It's a legal office now. I mean, it's just like the neighborhood's gone to hell.
It's all gone to hell when you take away the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, they took away the Queen. But so that's the only one that's not on the Street of Dreams. But other than that, it's everything. And it's every other building.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think that later on, not just them, but a bunch of other restaurants, it's within the next week or the next 2 weeks, you're going to be able to go in. And to be quite honest, it looks pretty cool. Like, having all these restaurants outdoors with the patios, it's awesome. And the weather has been really nice over the last week, too, so it's been perfect for it. But there's certain streets that have not gotten, you know, the licensing yet. Like, you still have to apply. You can't just say, hey, because we're having hard times, you can put your stuff outside. No, you have to still get a license for all of that. And there's certain businesses, like in Somerville, I've been reading about. They've been trying to apply, and they haven't gotten theirs yet, and it's been taking a while.
Well, there's a bar in Newton that just took over a parking lot. And, like, I guess I haven't seen it, but I guess it's, like, jammed. Like, all the seats are full. Like, people are just like, hell yeah.
Like, if I want to be outside and I want to eat.
Well, maybe so. You haven't been on Twitter and follow anybody at the radio station or in local media, but if you happen to...
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, if you somehow happen
to... I'm going to go. Murray. I'm going.
I follow Joe Murray. Don't you worry. Yeah. Don't you worry about that at all.
I mean, yesterday they rolled out the outdoor Kowloon dining that they had there, which is just one step closer to the car hop, baby.
Kowloon, I mean, at the precipice of everything, it's they are truly groundbreaking.
But I mean, I think everybody that I follow at the radio station, almost every account somehow tweeted a Kowloon thing. Except for
I mean,
Scott
they
Zola.
Should really just get free food. I mean, it's just at a certain point. I mean, this has become your cause.
Yeah,
people are like, "Hey, COVID-19." Like, it's O'Hara's that has the parking lot, they must get like $5 billion in advertising at this radio station.
It's true. Like, I mean, it's hysterical because you just scroll through and you're like, oh my god. Like, even like people who are just reporters that I might follow, like Mike Lynch yesterday is like tweeting, "Hey, Kowloon doing it right again." I'm like, what are we, like, everybody has this thing with Kowloon, which is awesome, and Andy Wong's a great guy,
which is great, charitable. But if you live in one of the five places you can get there from.
Yeah, the western suburbs where I am are out.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
Yeah, John, I'm not going to Kowloon.
It's true.
I'd have to leave at like 4 in the morning.
I know.
I head out to Saugus. Yeah. We'll just take you about 20
years.
No,
it's one of those things where you have to make a day of it to get up there. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you're somebody who's like, you know, having to, because this is a whole new world for servers too. So the servers have to wear masks, Fred, and there's all these different precautions you have to take. And meanwhile, you know, you've got, you know, people in groups, and I bet that there's, I was talking about, imagine going and eating with kids when you're supposed to like keep spread out. I mean, the kids are just going to run into everybody and do all that stuff too. And they've got to be policemen as well. This has got to be, I mean, a nightmare. So I just, and my thing is that if you're not tipping these people big during this time, then you're just you're a garbage human being. Like, even if the service is slower, expect it. Even if it's not, you know, exactly the way you want it, or the menu's limited, you still overtip in times like this. And I guarantee you there are people who are already bitching about the little inconveniences of things not being exactly the same. And I know we're like 3 days into this, but I wonder if anyone's experienced that. 617-779-0985 if you have. But I was thinking, I was thinking about these poor bars, because they were supposed to open in phase 3. Now, the way that they're categorizing a bar is that if you, like right now, if you have a bar in your restaurant, you can open up for outdoor service, and later on in phase 2, you can open up and still have people come inside, but no one's allowed to sit at the bar during that time.
Right.
If you're a place that doesn't have meals with your drinks, that's a bar, and they just got bumped from phase 3, which is not for another 3 weeks, to phase 4, which is basically defined as when there is a vaccine.
I know, it's like Hogan's Run with the big fake kitchen that they had and the chips.
Just to
Hogan's
get under the
Run. Okay, I'm going to say it's no longer a business, so I feel confident saying this, but to my knowledge, as someone who was put behind the bar there on more than one occasion, so bartenders could go out and do things bartenders do, acquire things, to my knowledge, they had a fake industrial fan outside, because I never saw a stove or anything back there. So that is, again, my memory might be a little off, but all I know is when you said, "What do you got?" and they'd be like Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, the 7 sad bags of Utz potato chips hanging behind the counter didn't qualify them as a restaurant.
Yeah, I would. But, I mean, how many, like, bars are there that don't serve food?
There's quite a few. I mean, there's a decent amount that, I mean, I think that it has to be food. I think that it can't be just, like, something that you could order up at the bar. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to have meals. And there is a qualification. Okay. So I don't quite know how, but I just know that they got bounced all the way to, like,
I
nightclub.
I feel so safe.
Well, think about nightclubs. It's like a bar and nightclub. You know, nightclubs don't have like tons of
food. Nightclubs, right? But I mean, if the bar doesn't, I mean, if they're not selling food, and thank God, I mean, with the horror of walking into one of those places.
Let's go to Bill on line one. He owns a place and says that people have. Let's see how they've been doing.
All right, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, it's been really cool here. We set up our outdoor deck, and there's just been a steady line of people, and everybody's been really chill. And although we have a limited menu and all that stuff, and like you were saying, it's just been really it's been a good time. We've been having a lot of fun.
Good. At least people.
There's a bar that is like my local that hasn't opened up yet, but when it does, I don't even know who's going to come back to it. But if there are people I know, I'm going to give them money because they put up with me and didn't kick me out. So I think I owe them some sort of severance. So we'll deal with that when that happens.
So yeah, but that's it. But I mean, if you know, you're talking about nightclubs and places like that. There was an article that, you know, some of these places are struggling to even make it to when this phase four is going. See, phase four is the scary one if you're a business.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, phase three is going to be just kind of when people feel comfortable with phase two, you can move to phase three.
Yeah, you figure like it's in 3 or 4 weeks that they would move to it. Right.
Right. And then there's a little bit of hope for you. But right. Phase four, I mean, I checked this morning, it's when there's a vaccine or a treatment.
Yeah.
So who knows when that is going to be? And, you know, I mean, I guess I wonder if you're a bar right now or a nightclub, if you're immediately figuring out, all right, how do we learn how to serve food? And like, how do we get into that requirement just under the radar so we can be able to at least bring a little bit of money in?
And if you look at the information that's been coming out about COVID, it's been fairly positive recently in terms of they're finding out new ways about how it's you know more than me, but they're finding out ways that they thought it could be transmitted where maybe it can't be transmitted. So,
well, the reason that Governor Baker said that they moved it from these bars from phase three to phase four is he pointed out the spikes that have happened over the last week in some of the states that opened up early. I know Florida has had an issue with that.
And Texas is up almost 40%.
And Texas is up too. But you know what the thing is, though? I always, whenever I look at those numbers, I always try to see whether or not it's testing or it's deaths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And because that's everything. Because testing could mean that it's just more widespread,
right,
and you're finding out that more people have it. It's still not good when the numbers are high.
No,
obviously.
No, of course not. But like, yeah, it's the hospital population and how many beds they're using and the fatalities.
And I guess in Florida and Texas, those are up as well. And that's a little. I mean, it's a little concerning. It's not as high as the people who have been tested positive. But, I mean, I know why Governor Baker did it, but the thing that I saw, when I just saw that, I'm like, oh, man, it's got to suck if you're one of these bars and you're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, a ton of, you know, hospitality industries are going to close. I mean, you can't afford to be out of business for, I mean, what do they say about a restaurant? It takes you like 3 years to make a profit. I mean, you can't shut down for 4 months. I mean, you're not going to be able to do it. So
you know what I say? I say open up a car.
Hey, don't mind me.
Fred, do you want to take line two?
I don't have it on. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, let's just take it. Ray, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey. Fred, I was just listening to you explain your diet that last week in Tennessee. I am really worried about you. Your colon is crying out for help right now. It's desperate.
Dude, I lost 30 pounds. I lost 30 pounds.
Because your diet is so unnutritious that your body's just shedding that stuff out.
Hey. In reality, it's because I got so frantic that I stopped eating, which has had no repercussions socially. But I... everyone's a huge fan of mine, but I'm the bee's knees. Everyone just loves me right now. There's nothing left to. I don't have to write people notes or anything. But no, I lost 30 pounds from not eating, and then after the month there, I didn't put any. I put on like 3 pounds. Now I did. I was consistently active. I was active every day, but. You know, Yeah, I ate a bunch of crap. I don't know what to tell you. Didn't put any weight on. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you got a little something? I gave all the words for breast that I could think of.
Well, I mean, first of all, I feel bad this morning for a lot of the bars here in Boston who are wanting to open up because they were originally slated to open up in phase 3. You know, right now we're in phase 2.1 where they've been opening up restaurants where you can eat outside. And I think later on in phase 2, whether it's next week or the week after, that's when you're going to be able to eat inside. I know, Fred, down in Tennessee, you ate inside of a restaurant.
And in fairness, everything was spread out. And in reality, I swear to you, I was the only person inside the restaurant. I made sure that because again, I was with my parents. But it is weird coming back to Boston from being in Tennessee, and just how like different things are here. Again, I didn't go out very often. I, you know, stayed at my parents' house 99% of the time, but I had to get Bojangles. I had to get my Bojangles. Is there anything better in the world than Bojangles?
Cold Bojangles, yes. I would say Bojangles the second day is even better than Bojangles the first day.
You got that right, Jack. And how about that coleslaw? I'm not going to lie to you. I had Bojangles twice, and I was so emaciated that I only put on like 3 pounds. I ate fast food legit at least once a day for a month.
Oh, it's a dream. It's a dream come.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.